a guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember it to this day. It was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And it goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Welcome to the MFC podcast. If you're a regular listener, you'll clock that this is Jay rather than Sparra. Unfortunately, Sparra can't be with us this week, so it's down to me to kind of drag us through this week. I'm going to just wing it, so it's got the potential to be as shambolic as the club's current signing policy. But we'll crack on and hopefully get through it without any major issues. Buster's here as always, and this week we're also joined by Craig Holmes and Ross Mitchell. How are we doing, lads?
Not bad.
Doing good, thanks.
Very good, thank you.
Right, well, only one place to start. A disappointing 1-0 defeat in the Lanarkshire Derby yesterday. For me, a pretty poor performance. We did have a couple of half chances, particularly in the first half, falling to Theo Robinson. Second half, he could have scored. He had a shot that was deflected narrowly wide. There was a pretty hopeful claim for a penalty late on. I've saw it back. I'm still not convinced. I know Barraclough thinks it was a penalty. I'm not convinced by that. But I suppose overall, it was just another disappointing day at the office. Below par performance, a poor goal to concede defensively, and no real signs that things are improving much. Buster, I'll come to you. Surely, based on the last few weeks, things not really going our way, a couple of changes made, a big derby match and what should have been played with a kind of cup tie attitude. Surely this should have been a game that we would have been putting a lot more into than we actually did.
You would think so, yeah. I think right now, to be honest with you as well, we are poor run of form. You know, every game should be played as if it's a cup tie, basically. Like you've said, the goal we lost, in my opinion, was an absolute disaster. Dougie Imrie, I've looked it up now, he's 5'10". Joe Chalmers, 6'2". You know, Dougie Imrie should never be winning that header at the back post. I say that before, I say that again. It's a similar goal for us every week. Cross it at the back post, there it is, goal, nae bother. We've been doing that for January, basically, losing goals at crosses, set pieces, whatever. Too easy it is. It's far too easy. Up front, there's nothing on offer at all, with a few chances, and they all seem to fall to Theo Robinson. But again, Hamilton never ever looked stretched. I wasn't at the game. This is me just going for what I've seen in the highlights and for what I've heard for yourselves. But there doesn't appear to be anything there. Barraclough comes out, you know, says the same sort of thing as he does every week. We've played well, you know, we've lost a poor goal. Last week we managed to get back in it. This week, you know, that was it. There doesn't seem to be any sort of... There's just not working for us. There doesn't seem to be any way of turning this around, unfortunately.
Well, you picked up on the goal we conceded there. It is quite alarming when you consider the heights of the players involved. Again, it was just a carbon copy of the kind of goal we seem to concede on a weekly basis. Again, there was similarities to even just a couple of weeks ago against Ross County, ball to the back post. McManus wrestled off the ball, back in, goal. This week it was just, you know, Chalmers is nowhere near it. Dougie Imrie gets up, loop and header, goal. It's just, it seems such a regular occurrence. But I can't help feel that Barraclough hasn't, whether it's down to injuries, whether it's down to, you know, not knowing who to play, there's inconsistency all through the team, and particularly at the back. You know, you like to have a settled back four if you can, so the players know, they understand each other, they've got that partnership going at centre backs, that the full backs know exactly where to be, and instead, on almost a weekly basis, you've got changes there. Whether it's Chalmers or Hamill, whether it's two of Kieran Kennedy, Lang or McManus, the changes are every week, and surely, Mitch, that can't be helping. You know, our defensive performances.
It's that inconsistency, isn't it? Inconsistency in team selection. You know, you said there, you know, Hamill out, Chalmers in, Lang out, Kennedy coming in. Now, actually, I think the plastic pitch probably played a part in Hamill not featuring yesterday. Judy, I think he picked up the injury out in Iceland on a plastic pitch that probably wasn't risked. But it's every week, you know, every single week. The only sort of mainstay happens to be Josh Law, who is not the most wonderful footballer. But that inconsistent approach for Barraclough and pulling out the squad selection bingo balls, if you like, it's just not going to work. You know, he needs to understand what his best team is, and we need to actually stick at it to try and get a bit of consistency. You know, you mentioned there, you know, about fullbacks understanding where to overlap, where to run. You know, we need to make sure we have a consistent side and maybe stick with it for three or four games to see if the things improve, because at the moment the performances are poor. You know, I don't think I've come out of Fifth Park or any away ground this season and thought we played well. I think the best of a bad bunch is probably Inverness in the first day of the season, and I didn't think we were terrific that day. I just thought we were slightly, you know, we were not as bad as Inverness. But we're plodding along at the moment. Even the win against Kilmarnock was a poor, not a fantastic performance, a poor football game as well. Yesterday was no different. Yesterday felt exactly the same as the Kilmarnock game, exactly the same as the Ross County game. We're not creating very much, you know. We're not sitting back in the pub after the game talking about chances, because we're not creating any. You know, even yesterday, you know, the one that Robinson maybe had, well, certainly one really good one in the second half, he probably should have done better. Maybe the other ones would be a couple of half chances, and that's about it. And it's the same pattern going through every single game. We're just not creating enough chances. And it was the same. It's been the same under Barraclough. I just don't know where to go, where we go from here.
I mean, talking about team selection, Holmesy, what was your thoughts when you saw the actual lineup before the game had started? I mean, there's been a number of weeks now when there's been talk of, you know, McDonald shouldn't be starting. He doesn't play well in that attacking midfield role. So he was dropped, but we still went 4-4-2. Possibly a game that McDonald actually would have been quite effective in up front alongside Malt. Instead went with Robinson. When we were in the pub before the game, we saw the lineup and we kind of considered possibly we might be going with a back three, you know, because you had Kennedy in there, you had Lang. I mean, it was more trying to work out where the hell Chalmers was going to be, because nobody really assumed that Jake Taylor was going to be pushed out onto the left, particularly when you have guys like Johnson and Thomas in the team who are potentially your most creative players. So even then, even in a game when we go into it and we make changes and we make, you know, the main change that I think most people were clamouring for, McDonald dropped, there still seems to be question marks. There still seems to be, you know, a bit of mystery and a bit of confusion over exactly what it is Barraclough is thinking.
Yeah, I think you're certainly not alone. You know, we've sat before many a game this season and tried to work out the formation and where certain players are going to line up. Going back to Buster's original point about Dougie Imrie, I think he's been editing his Wikipedia page because there's no chance he's 5'10". but I think he's kind of making, Barclough's making sort of three or four changes every game, especially the last few weeks. And I just don't think, you know, I'm sure if he asked four of us if you picked our best 11, then, you know, we probably have four different answers. But I think the main point is Barclough doesn't seem to have a clue what his best 11 is. And he's just constantly chopping and changing to try and find out what it is. Now, whether the players aren't performing, you know, to a high standard, we could certainly list quite a few players who have underperformed. But the problem is, I don't think Barraclough knows what his best team is. And that can't be good for the squad, because, you know, everyone says, you know, a settled back four is always helpful. You know, if you play 4-4-2, you're looking for, you know, McDonald to be in there. You know, he's not played well in the number 10 role he's been in, but I think in a 4-4-2 he should have been starting. He's certainly the best player we've got in the squad. But I think it goes back to the fact Barraclough doesn't know what his best team is, and that seems to be an issue.
Well, you picked up on McDonald there. I mean, for me, I was one of those who was very vocal in the fact that I don't think he should be playing at the moment. He's not been good enough. That for me was only because I was under the impression that we were just going to persist with this 4-5-1 formation. I think that Scott McDonald's a striker, he's a goal scorer, that's where he plays. When he joined us, he said that the main reason he left Millwall was because he didn't want to play in that attacking midfield role, and yet we've persisted with him this season. It's not worked. But for me, there were two solutions to that. Either you push him up front and you go with him alongside Molt, who he can talk through the game, he can use his experience, he can give us that sort of ruthless streak up front, or you go with the fight, you persist with the 4-5-1 and you bring someone else in to replace him. I didn't really see or foresee the idea that we would go 4-4-2 but still drop McDonald. I think that Robinson looks as though he could be a half decent player if he gets a goal and maybe gets a bit of confidence, but he's not really shown enough for me personally over the, like, since he's joined and his substitute appearances etc. to suggest that he should have been starting yesterday. I think it basically resulted in us having two quite sort of lightweight powder puff strikers. Molt's done brilliantly. I think Molt's been one of our best players this season. But I just think, you know, we were missing that cutting edge up front. We were missing that experience, that ruthlessness. And so for Barraclough to then come out after the game and lament the fact that we weren't ruthless up front when you have someone like Scott McDonald on the bench just seemed to be a little bit like he was shooting himself in the foot. Now, I know that he was, by all accounts, he had a almighty strop after being substituted last week. But Buster, surely, if you're going to change things round and you're going to go with a completely different formation, you then pick the players that are best to play in that formation. You don't drop someone because they're not playing well in a position that isn't theirs and then, you know, go 4-4-2 and still leave them out. That seemed a bit bizarre to me. And for me, that's one of the reasons why we were so powder puff up front yesterday.
I would generally tend to agree with that, yeah. You're right, as you say. Start of this season, if we're going 4-4-2, the one guy you want up front is Scott McDonald. Even in his 5-4-1 that he was playing, or 4-5-1, sorry, formation that he was playing, I would still have went McDonald up front. But again, the questions have to be asked about McDonald's performances and his attitude as well. This season he's been particularly poor in both of those counts. So it's one of those things where, don't get me wrong, as you say, he's the goal scorer, he's the guy who should be scoring the goals, but he's been pretty poor, so I can see why he was dropped.
Well, the replacement for McDonald was obviously Theo Robinson. I was just interested to get a general idea of what the thoughts are on him. For me, he looks a little, as I said earlier, a little lightweight, a little powder puff. He seems to lack that kind of killer instinct. You know, a couple of his shots yesterday, I think in the first half, he had a couple of, I know, what we used to call the Jamie Murphy gimp shot, where it's just the kind of the side-footed back pass to the goalkeeper. Second half, I think he could have done a little better. He could have gotten the shot away quicker, the one that deflected wide. He looks as a player who could be useful, but surely him starting yesterday even just shows that, you know, Barraclough's signing policy has been slightly off. The fact that you've signed David Clarkson, who is destined to never appear for Motherwell, even in a game when we go to up front and drop McDonald. I mean, I'm a being too harsh there. Is Robinson going to come good? I mean, Holmesy, what's your thoughts on what you've seen of him?
I think there's definitely a player there. If you look at his history, where he's been down south, he's scored goals at a decent level. So, you know, there's certainly a player there. Whether he's probably not match fit, whether he's fully fit, I don't know. But, you know, like you said earlier, you know, potentially if he gets a goal, a goal just might kick him off. It's certainly a wee bit of pace about him. You know, something we've not had up top. Maybe we tried something different yesterday. It's obviously not worked out. But I think, you know, I think there's a player in there. I've sort of liked what I've seen so far. Certainly raw. But, you know, if we can get the best out of him, which may be another question in itself. But, you know, I think there's a good player in there. If he can, you know, get a first goal behind him, maybe Tuesday night's a good chance to get a goal. And maybe just kick start. But I think there's a decent player in there.
Mitch, given that Theo Robinson started yesterday, missed a couple of chances, obviously he hasn't scored yet, is there a danger that Barraclough will look to bring in another striker?
I think that's it's back to Barraclough and his inconsistency and chopping and changing. I'll be honest, I actually quickly look at the lad. I mean, what is he, maybe 25, 26 years old? But I think, actually, you think about powder puff, I actually thought, probably not so much yesterday, but against, when he came off the bench for his debut, I actually thought he looked quite strong. He looks a decent enough size, about 6 footish, and actually quite quick as well. I think there definitely is something there with the guy, and I think we need to stick with it. We need to stick with it over a few games. I mean, this chopping and changing, you know, as I mentioned earlier, just it won't work. So, no, I actually quite like the look of the lad, but for me, just going back to Scott McDonald, Scott McDonald for me is the first name in the team sheet. His performances this season have been poor, but I think he's someone that we've got to maybe try and stick with, because he's the type of guy that will pull the side through. And the sort of stubbornness that his attitude at times can maybe come across the wrong way, but I think he's probably the first guy that I would have on the team sheet every week, and I fully expect him to be back in on Tuesday night.
Well, Buster, Mitch was talking there about how Robinson looks as though, well, both the general consensus, I suppose, seems to be that Robinson could come onto a game, could be a threat. But, you know, how effective do you think he'll be, given that every week there does seem to be, maybe it's just me, you know, you can disagree, obviously, but I find myself turning up and not really knowing, you know, what we're trying to do. You look at the last minute winner last week, and there was a good bit of build up, good one touch football, nice passing. But for large spells of games, we're just launching the ball forward. We do seem to be a bit of a long ball team at the moment because we're void of ideas. And is there not the danger that if you've even got players who are quite good, you know, McDonald might be the best player we've got, Malt has scored a couple of goals, Robinson looks as though he can be handy. If you're just launching the ball at them, you know, I mean, what are they going to achieve?
To be honest with you, I think that's a great point. When we have the ball, we don't seem to know what to do with it, really. I've noticed that we seem to knock it into midfield a couple of times. We've then had to stop, knock it back, and it goes back to, as you say, McManus, Hamill, Law, whoever, and then it's a 60-yard diagonal pass. And at the start of the season, it was aimed at Marvin Johnson, who just had no interest in trying to hit the ball whatsoever. So I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I don't think they really know what they're doing. Especially, again, when we were playing one up front, it would be, you know, the ball into the channel and Louis Moult would chase it. Or it would be a punt to Louis Moult. It would get knocked back and then we'd try and pick it up in midfield again. But I don't know exactly why we're finding ourselves like that, because, as you said, the equaliser last week against Ross County was the best bit of football we've seen there since May. So I don't honestly know. I agree. I don't think they know what they're doing, basically. I don't think they've got any sort of real game plan, and I don't think there's enough support coming through the midfield when the ball does go forward.
Well, in terms of game plan and not knowing what we're doing, obviously that's more down to Barraclough, and we'll come on to him shortly. But we've already spoke about him a wee bit, but come on to him in particular in a bit. But one last player I wanted to pick up on is Jake Taylor. He's a guy who, for me, has been completely ineffective, completely anonymous. Games have just passed him by. And to be perfectly honest, I can think of, you know, poorer players. I can think of players who haven't been as good as Jake Taylor, but I'm really struggling to think of players who have kind of hid from the game or have just been as completely uninvolved in a game of football as Jake Taylor seems to be on a weekly basis. He was played out on the left for long spells yesterday. I mean, effectively started on the left as we started by 4-4-2, although there were spells in the game when we pushed Robinson onto the left and just went back to a 4-5-1. But once again, he just seemed to be completely ineffective. It's quite worrying, the fact that he actually managed to last the 90 minutes when he was effectively a wasted jersey. I can remember three instances where he was involved: a Sclaff shot that almost hit the corner flag, a moment where we had a chance to break where he picked the ball up in our own half and just launched it to their goalkeeper, and then he won a foul on the edge of the box that Scott McDonald passed to the wall pretty late on. But other than that, he just seemed to be completely out of the game. And when you've got guys like Johnson and Thomas, potentially two of our most creative players, sitting on the bench missing out so that you can play Jake Taylor on the left, you know, those are the decisions that Barraclough, you know, you live and die by your decisions, and those are the decisions when it clearly doesn't go well, there's going to be some criticism. But Mitch, I mean, he's got Jake Taylor, there must be something about him. He's been capped for, you know, it's not a Wales side of, you know, 10 years ago. This is a Wales side that's absolutely romping up the world rankings. They're about to qualify, and he seems to, you know, be at least considered for that squad, and yet, you know, he's shown absolutely nothing.
Yeah, for me, I mean, he was playing for Reading. He was playing first team football in the Championship up until Christmas last year, until Nigel Atkins left. Now, you don't play at the Championship in England at that sort of level for Reading, who are a fairly decent side, if you've not got something about you. So I was quite excited when he came in. I thought, you know, this lad here will probably come in and be exactly what we're looking for. But you absolutely hit the nail on the head. He's done nothing. And it's not as if I've never come away and said he's had a bad game today. He just does nothing. He may as well not be on the pitch because he doesn't contribute anything whatsoever. And for me, the only thing he's done is he got the two yellow cards at St Johnston, one for dissent for not walking back or retreating from the ball, and the other one for diving. I mean, that if someone asked me to sum up his middle career, you know, in maybe 3 or 4 years' time, that'll be the only thing I can probably say. Because he's contributed absolutely nothing else, and it's so disappointing. But he seems to be selected every week. You know, he was out for that the game that he was suspended, which I think was it against Kilmarnock, was it, did we win that game? But he seemed to get brought straight back in. Jack Leach got dropped, Taylor comes straight back in. But I don't know if there's maybe something in the loan agreement that he has to play if he's fit. I don't know. But for me, he would be the first person I'd have out. And I think I mentioned, you know, the creativity. We're not creating anything at all, and we could have a Johnston in there or a Thomas in there that could be a little bit of spark that could, you know, give us those chances that we're currently not creating.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about the game yesterday, you know, we're focused on a goal that we seem to concede essentially every week. Inconsistent defence, Jake Taylor being an empty jersey, dropping Scott McDonald. I mean, Buster, obviously the players have a lot to answer for, but how much of the current predicament is down to Ian Barraclough? I mean, we've said earlier the fact that he doesn't seem to know what he's starting 11 is, which, if he had joined in the summer, you could maybe, you know, give him that leeway. But we're talking about a manager who's now been here for the good part of a year. He's built his own squad, and I mean, how do you actually even work out who your best 11 is when, before you've even worked it out, you're signing more players? It just seems to be quite a haphazard approach from him. I get the impression he doesn't have conviction in the decisions he makes, both on the park and in terms of signings. But how much at the moment is down to the players not playing for Barraclough or Ian Barraclough just being out his depth?
These questions are always sort of tricky in my opinion, because there's some times where it just might not work out for a club or a player or a manager, but there's obviously a place where it comes to meet in the middle where somebody's got to fall on their sword, basically. And to be honest with you, it's never the players, is it? Very seldom do you ever see a player or a bunch of players, you know, getting the boot or getting sold or whatever. It's the manager. The manager's the first one to go. A bit like yourself, you know. I want to believe in the guy. I want to, everything he says. You know, there's something in everything he says that you think, you know, that he's spot on there. He's getting there. He knows what he's talking about. But there's very, very little evidence out on the park. I've always been a sort of, I wouldn't say a supporter, but you know, there's a lot of people who have been quick to jump on his back. He's, in my opinion, he's got a couple more games for me before I'm completely, you know, on the other side of the fence. It can only go on so long. The problem is, though, as we've heard many a time, he's going nowhere, basically. I think he'll be here for at least another 6 months, to be fair. But as you say, I think it's coming to the point where we have to start looking at Barraclough and we have to start asking questions, basically.
Well, I mean, interestingly enough, I think I'm kind of similar to yourself, where I'm kind of reluctant to jump on the, you know, the manager out bandwagon, regardless of who it is. I'm always a little late to join in on the party. I just think, though, that I don't know. I mean, I got up this morning, I went on to Steelman Online, I read the Barraclough out thread, and it's a thread that when it first went up, I thought, completely premature, a load of nonsense, give the guy a chance. But I found myself reading the last couple of pages, and there's really nothing there that I can disagree with. You know, yeah. We're at a situation now where, the way I look at it is the fact that, right, he's a likeable guy, but you know, there are plenty of likeable guys who aren't football managers. You want him to do well because he's a likeable guy. The way I kind of think of it is, if it was Derek Adams, who is completely not a likeable guy, if Derek Adams had came in instead of Ian Barraclough and had did the exact same job that Ian Barraclough did, I think I would want rid of him, because, you know, there wouldn't be that kind of affection for the guy. Similarly, I think that the playoffs are kind of blown out of proportion. It was a great, don't get me wrong, it was absolutely fantastic. Being at Ibrox was fantastic. The last half hour at Firth Park was amazing. But Holmesy, do you not think that the actual playoffs themselves are kind of used a little more? You know, those who aren't crying for Barraclough to leave or to be sacked often suggest that he'd done such a great job in keeping us up last season. I think you've got to acknowledge that he did, you know, he did what was asked of him. He had to keep us in the division. He did so. I thought his conduct in particular before both games was absolutely fantastic, considering we're used to the likes of Stuart McCall grovelling before Rangers. But, you know, that was a very mediocre Rangers side. That was a very, very poor Rangers side. And do you not think that if he had finished 10th last season, if he'd actually went slightly better in league form, finished 10th, and we didn't have that playoff game, do you think there would actually be more calls for his head this season? Because there wouldn't have been that great, you know, that wouldn't be clouding people's judgment. People would look at it as a whole and probably see that there just hasn't been that much improvement.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Rangers games have, has got him as far as he's got. You mentioned that Barraclough out thread on the forum. That started about, you know, February, March time. So this isn't, you know, this hasn't been going since the start of the season, since the last couple of games. You know, people haven't been convinced of him since the very start. You know, you talk about the Rangers game, that's certainly bottom time. But you mentioned that let's be honest, that Rangers team was brutal. You know, that was not, you know, or even, you know, I think I seen a stat yesterday where they, something like, you know, they'd lost, well, they hadn't won 13 of the last 25 championship games. You know, teams like Alloa were beating them, to Barton were getting results. You know, Queen of the South beat them comfortably on a couple of occasions. So this wasn't a great team. Yeah, we had two great games against them. You know, every Motherwell fan will certainly enjoy it for years to come, but the team itself is brutal. You know, I think Barraclough now, there's just been no sign of improvement in the last 12 months since he came in. Are we any further forward? Are we any better football inside than the last days of McCall? I don't think so. You know, you look at these two games here, and we're kind of similar situation last month. We'd be these five in the cup, and I think we'd Kilmarnock the following week, and we managed to scrape by both games. Even if we scrape by both games this week, you know, we'll get, you know, Morton away in the cup, a home game against a team at the bottom of the league. If we scrape by them, does it get another few weeks of execution before we start up again? I think we need to go on, you know, is he capable of going 4, 5, 6 games and winning them, or going unbeaten in 6, 7 games? I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to jump on the guy's back. What you say, he seems like a nice guy, but I just can't see any sort of improvement in the, what is it now, 10, 11 months since he's been here. So I don't know whether, I think he'll be given the time. I can't see the board admitting that they've got it wrong. I think what Buster was saying was probably true. I think he's going to be here unless, you know, by January, February, we're well adrift. I think that's the only thing that may get him to bullet him. So I think, you know, a lot of fans are not going to be on his back, but the main problem we're going to have then is will fans just stop going? I think the days of, you know, fans protesting outside the ground and banners in the stadium are long gone. You know, it's 22, 23 quid to go to a game now. People just won't go. We've seen the crowd yesterday at Hamilton. Wasn't brilliant from a Motherwell perspective, certainly nowhere near what we've took before. So people just are going to stop going. We've seen home crowds drop as well. So I think that will be the way we're going to go. I think folk will just stop going until they get the message.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great point. I think you're right. Home games, even down, you know, the section we stand up behind the Motherwell boys, there's been, you know, a few games this season where there's been big gaps. The crowd yesterday was really poor for a derby. And you're right, I think that is, you know, symptomatic of the way things are going. I saw an excellent point in Steelman Online yesterday that I think kind of sums up, if not Barraclough's whole reign, just the signing policy at least. I mean, the point was basically that the reason Barraclough should have been given the summer was because the squad he was left by McCall needed a big clear out. And yet we're now, what, 7, 8 games into the season and we need another clear out. It actually seems as though Barraclough has built a squad that still now needs to be cleared out because you've got guys like Clarkson, etc., who, you know, three goalkeepers. It just seems as though he's went completely, you know, over the top in terms of signings, a few panic buys, I think. It's just, it's really hard to work out exactly what he's trying to achieve. And I think that when you notice that, I think that's a symptom of a manager out of his depth. Interestingly enough, I didn't hear it myself, but I've heard mentions of the fact that it was potentially mentioned on Radio Clyde after the game yesterday. Rumours that he may be, you know, on the verge of quitting. I don't know if there's any substance to that whatsoever. I don't know what your views would be that on that, Mitch. I think that as much as I think that he's out his depth. I'm probably with Buster. I think it will take another couple of weeks before I'm fully in the Barraclough out side of things, but regardless of how poor a job he's done, surely to you know, make so many signings, to quit now would be, you know, a sign of just simply not having the bottle to be even a football manager, never mind one at this level.
Yeah, for me, I'm firmly in the out camp with him. I've never really taken to the guy. I don't know why. I've just never really taken to the guy. I've watched a lot of his interviews, and he talks a good game, but he's so far delivered nothing. I mean, you look at those Rangers games. That was, I mean, the Rangers were a poor side. It was fantastic. It was great to beat them, but it's completely masked what is a really, really poor team, and it's absolutely bottom time. I think you mentioned there earlier. You know, it's those two games are bottom time. He's now had two windows. He's had a, you know, really good support from the board financially through those windows. You know, we paid money now, you know, for Bud Johnson and for Louis Moult. So he's had the backing of those guys, and this is now an Ian Barraclough team. I mean, it's no longer the Stuart McCall team where the likes of you know, Fraser Kerr, etc., and Angolo and stuff are still kicking about the squad. You know, this is Barraclough's side, and for me, I've seen absolutely nothing at all in these first eight games of the season. Absolutely, you know, it's so poor. I'm not sure what his next move is, to be honest. Anyway, you know, is he going to come around and try and rotate the team again? But no, for me, I don't think he's even got another two games or two or three games in me. I think he probably needs to go. And then I heard the rumours last night that he had walked. I was absolutely delighted, to be perfectly honest. Ask me who I want to bring in. I don't know. I think we need an old head to come and see. When Craig Brown came in after the Jim Gannon months, you know, that I think we need something very similar again. Someone that's an old head to come in and really just make us hard to beat initially, and then look to try and sort of move us up the table. Because realistically, the way we're going at the moment, if we don't go down this year, we're going to go down next year. Next year, the SPL is going to be a hard place with Rangers in it. And potentially a good Hibs side as well, you know. So we really need to make sure that we're performing at a far higher, better level than we currently are at the moment. Because if not, we are going to be in serious bother. If not this year, certainly next year.
I certainly don't see him quitting whatsoever. I never heard any of these rumours, and I don't know where they would have came from. But I don't see him quitting. I don't think it's something he would do.
Did he not quit when he was at Sligo?
I'm not sure, but
I don't know for sure. I thought he'd walked out on them.
Yeah, but even at that, he'll have. We don't know how long his contract is, as far as I'm aware. Les didn't answer that when we asked him, but he's got a guaranteed payment there. And I think, to be honest with you, if MD whoever quits, unless you're made the money, there's no sense in quitting whatsoever. You might as well just go about it terribly. Take a bit of abuse for 90 minutes a week and then get sacked and get your payoff. I don't see him quitting whatsoever, but as you say, if there is a turnaround a turnover, a manager, I don't know who it'd be. You're going to hear all the old favourites, Kenny Shields, Jimmy Calderwood, whoever, but you know, you're going to hear all these names again. So it's, I don't know who or what you would change.
Well, I don't want to get too bogged down in, like, you know, potential new managers. I think it might be a wee bit premature. As I agree with you, Buster. I think that I don't see any chance of him resigning. If he was to resign, I think it would be a sign that there's perhaps something else going on. We've spoke a little bit. I don't know if anybody else kind of agrees, but I do get the impression that there seems to be something, I don't know, a little negative, a little sinister or something behind the scenes. That might just be because I've not particularly taken to Les Hutchison. But I've heard it mentioned in the past, you know, for instance, if there was ever going to be a chairman with the arrogance and the ego to sort of take a hands-on approach with team affairs, it could be someone like Les Hutchison. There's obviously no evidence of that, no substance to that. But I think if he was to resign, it would surely be a sign that something else had gone on behind the scenes, even if it was just a case of losing the debt dressing room or, you know, more experienced players you know, trying to get rid of him. But I can't imagine that he would simply resign purely because things aren't going his way, because that wouldn't, you know, that's not befitting of any football manager. You know, he's built his own side. If he doesn't even know his best starting 11 at the moment, you'd imagine he would at least work that out first before he walked. But in terms of his, you know, the negative reaction to him at the moment, Holmesy, do you think he's maybe made a bit of a, you know, sort of built a rod for his own back? The idea that he's made all these signings, you know, he's kind of just chucking, it seems as though he identifies a problem and he just chucks signings at it. If we were in exactly the same position that we're in just now, and had went in and had been playing with, you know, a smaller side, a younger side, you know, guys like Dom Thomas, Jack Leach, Craig Moore, perhaps, all playing a part, I think that would probably give him a bit of leeway. It would buy him some time, because people would at least see what he's trying to do. He's trying to, you know, build a young side, and it just wasn't happening. Whereas we're at a situation where we seem to be absolutely, you know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but we're signing so many players, it just seems utterly ridiculous. You know, we've had the signing of Craig Sampson, who for me is completely unrequired. Say what you like about Ripley and Twardzig, but if you have two first-choice goalkeepers, then I'm sorry, you're lumbered with them. If you want to get rid of one and bring someone in, that's fair enough. But just to add someone just seems mental. I know that people have been talking about the fact that Ripley may go back down south in January, but that's 4 months away. If Barraclough has all these contacts that we're told he has, if he's got an extensive scouting network, then surely to God you can use those 4 months to bring in a goalkeeper rather than bringing someone in who, by all accounts, is on a decent wage and didn't even make the bench on Saturday. So, I mean, how much of the negativity towards Barraclough is down to the fact that he is, you know, almost making it easy for people to turn on him with all these signings?
Yeah, certainly the signings is bizarre. You know, I don't know whether if he's in full charge of signings, whether, you know, I know they previously had a head of recruitment and they've got board of directors. I don't know who's in charge of the signings, but are they able to say no? Because we just seem to get offered these players and we go, all right, okay, we'll take him, and we'll take him, and then we'll take him again. You know, I looked at it the other day, we'll get a 25-man squad, 22 of which have already played this season. You know, and of the three that haven't played, you know, we've got Craig Sampson, who's just in the door. We've got Thwadzik and Craig Reid, who's been injured apparently for the whole season. So, like, let's come back to the whole point as well, but knowing you're starting 11. But if you've got 22 players that are available for selection, then, you know, it's just why you got so many players. It's just, it's bizarre. Now, we started off really well with the signings. We sort of signed up Louis Lang, who'd done well last season. We'd got Johnson, then we got Ainsworth back in. And we brought some players in, we got McDonald back, and it looked quite decent at the start of the season, and it was the whole chat was, we need a goalkeeper and a midfielder, and we'll be fine. Then we brought in Ripley, and then so I think since then we've brought in two goalkeepers, two midfielders and a centre-forward as well. So it's just, you know, we say we needed two, he's brought in five. So I don't understand where he needs the five from. Has it been used against them? Probably, because simply the new signings haven't been good enough. Especially the ones he brought in, sort of loan signings. Taylor, we brought in Grimshaw. Is he a replacement for Taylor? Is he filling in for Pearson? We don't know. He just seems to be pulling out these sort of names out of hat and giving them a contract for a few months. But certainly it's been used against them. Like you said, if we'd used players like Leach or Craig Moore or, you know, young Cadden, would we be any worse off? Would we have lost all eight games? I very much doubt it. So I think it's certainly been used against them. Because simply we don't know why he's bringing these players in.
His record as well, his record is actually worse. So I just did a wee bit of checking on Wikipedia there. His record's actually worse than Morris Malpass's. And, you know, the level, the sort of standard of football is probably on par, if not maybe, you know, very, very similar to the Malpass era. But his record is actually worse.
In that as well, though, there was a guy who done all the research on Steelman Online for other guys like... Well, the one that was a standout was Jackie McNamara, and his was even worse than Barraclough, with Barraclough coming, you know. So although I agree it's not been a great time, there are teams out there who are having just as bad a time as us. You know, Kilmarnock picked up a couple of wins in a trot there, which is frightening in itself. Partick Thistle seem to be rotten at the moment as well. I've always thought Dundee United have been, you know, either terrible or excellent under McNamara, but that was when they had, you know, the Celtic team basically. So it swings and roundabouts there as far as that's concerned. But as you say though, it's
I don't actually believe he's in full control of the signing policy either, to be honest with you. I don't know why. I've not heard any rumours. I don't have any evidence. I just don't think he's the one calling the shots coming when it comes to signing players.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised because, I mean, you know, last season it was largely all about how, you know, we had too many players, particularly right-backs. You know, youth was the future. We had to cut our cloth. And it just seems bizarre that, you know, regardless of whether it's Barraclough, you know, picking out the signings, the club obviously sanctioned these. And we're at a time where we have the Welsh Society struggling to get members. We have Les Hutchison continually reminding us that the club's or the society's missed payments to him. And yet we seem to be, you know, dishing out contracts quite as freely as Bertie Volkes dished out international caps. It just seems to be quite bizarre. Again, I said earlier that there seems to be something, not, I don't know if sinister is the word, but there's a lot of mystery about what's going on at the club because there doesn't seem to be any logic for a club of our size to be, as Holmesy says, building a squad of 25 players. I don't understand the logic behind it, particularly if you're trying to, you know, build towards having a successful youth system. It's one thing to not have the young players ready for the first team, but you're essentially creating a culture where you're not going to attract young players because they're not going to think that there is a path into the first team. Why, if you're a young player, you know, for a good few years now, we've missed out on young players because they've went elsewhere. Why would you come to Motherwell when you're looking at a 25-man squad with, you know, seven strikers? You know, the chances are going to be so limited, you probably are still going to reject it. It just seems utterly bizarre. And what we're actually seeing from the club and from Barraclough doesn't meet up with what we were told was going to happen. And, you know, and that's the thing, you know, if he was to go, we're talking about Barraclough out, I mean, what happens then? You then have a manager who comes in and they've just got this massive squad and it's just such a bizarre situation to be in.
The question is, do you think MDLs could do a better job with the squad of players we've got?
Well, the issue is, though, the squad of players we've got. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it shouldn't have been, for me, there just shouldn't have been any question that we should have been bringing in these amount of players. At the end of the day, we're not a team like Celtic. You know, you look at guys that go to Celtic who you never really see, suddenly they're out on loan. You know, that Skepkovic, whatever his name was, you know, I think they played a couple of million for him. I think he played a handful of games and now he's on loan at Getafe. You know, clubs like that have the resources to do these things. We don't. So for me, would a manager come in and do a better job with the squad we've got? I think if they actually were consistent in selection, then they might be. But I think the issue for me is we should never have got into this position in the first place.
Definitely. I agree with that. You're right there. As we've said before, the size of the squad in itself is ridiculous. The amount of strikers we've got is ridiculous. The third goalie chat for the middle of the week there, again, it's... I don't know anybody who's not confused by it. It's all right, as you said, saying somebody might leave, somebody might do this. You know, there's even talk of the fact that the under-20s goalie, Brett Long, I think it is, has broke his hand or his wrist. So that's the reason we've signed Samson, because Twardzik's filling in for him. And as you say, it's just utter confusing. I don't know what's happening.
Well, I mean, if we move on a wee bit, I mean, you know, the Barraclough stuff's going to rumble on and on. Of course, we are recording this early on Sunday afternoon, so by the time it goes online on Monday night, if there is any substance to the rumours that Barraclough is going to resign, then it might have already happened. But obviously, we can talk about that next week if it does indeed happen. But on Tuesday, a tough game against Morton. You know, we mentioned earlier the fact that we kind of, I think it was Holmesy mentioned, the fact that we scraped through against East Fife and Kilmarnock. It's a tough, tough game on Tuesday. You know, Morton obviously won League One, or the second division as it is, last year. They've started brightly, drew two each away to Queen of the South yesterday. They're sitting fifth place. So they're going quite well. We're really not. Lots of negatives around our side. Our performance in the last round against East Fife was just really, really poor. It just came down to fitness. I mean, Holmesy, surely this is, you know, a game that's got upset written all over it.
Oh, completely. You know, looking at Morton so far this season, they've only lost one league game. They seem to be drawn a few, but you know, they've only lost one league game out of seven. You know, beating Campbell before, it's, you know, it's an old fashioned ground. They'll have a decent size support as well. Morton's a decent enough club. So I think as far as I'm concerned, it's must win. You know, we've talked about the whole Barraclough out thing. If he goes to Capolo on Tuesday night and we get turned over, then, you know, the fans are just I think to a man, are going to be demanding change there. I think it is a must win. I think
Mitch,
especially when you look at the first goal, I think the first goal is going to be crucial as well, but I think for me it's must win.
Well, Mitch, what's your thoughts on the game? I mean, how should Barraclough approach it? You know, League Cup games are usually the kind of ties, particularly against lower league sides, where you've got a bit more freedom to kind of play maybe a younger player or try something different. But surely this is a game where surely this is a game where Barraclough puts out his strongest side, but we've already touched upon the fact that he doesn't seem to know what that is. So, I mean, how does he approach the game?
He needs to use this game to try and find out what his best side is. And for me, I probably wouldn't make a million changes from what we had yesterday. I would take Taylor out, and I would probably look to put Johnson or Thomas into that position there. But and also looking at the back four, if you like, and I like the boy Kennedy. I think he looks if he's got something about him. I would more or less be keeping the team. I'd bring McDonald back in as well. And it's a tough one. Do you then drop Robinson? You know, we spoke about that earlier. You know, about potential changes. But I think McDonald needs to come back in. And I would be tempted to also drop Taylor out as well. Now, who McDonald comes in for, I'm not quite sure. But the game is six, it's going to be a really tough game. I mean, Morton don't concede many goals. They've not conceded that many this year. And we don't create enough chances as well. So it's going to be a really tough match. And I'll be honest with you, the bookies are pricing Morton up at 3-1 just now. I think that's probably quite a generous price. Because we are not performing particularly well just now, and it's a really, as Holmesy said, it's a tough place to go as well. You know, it's one of these grounds, and they are Morton are a fairly decent sized club as well. They've got a good core support there. So for me, I think this has got a sort of banana skin written all over it. And if you ask me, you know, is it going to be a shock? I don't think it will be. I think we have the potential of losing this game, which unfortunately I'll not be at. I'm down in down at Aston Villa v Birmingham on Tuesday night instead. But I won't be surprised if we lose. I think we need to go out there and we need to try and be hard to beat. I think that's what we need to try and do. We need to try and fit them up and we need to stop losing these stupid goals. You know, you look at yesterday, you look at a goal against Ross County, we concede goals like that every other week. And I think you need to get out and make yourself hard to beat. But it's a really, really tough tie. And as I said, the 3-1 on Morton has seemed quite a generous price.
Well, I mean, regardless of what happens on Tuesday, I know Holmes is suggesting that it's a must win, but whether it is or not, I mean, the Saturday game against Partick Thistle surely is. You know, we're playing against a side. They're currently bottom of the league, 4 points behind us. I think they started the season with 3 draws. They've now lost 4 league games in the trot. They've only scored twice all season in a draw against Kilmarnock. I mean, no matter how poor we've been, surely this is a game that we need to win. And Buster, you've got to say, if you know, all that negativity, all that ill feeling that's slowly building around Barraclough's position, if we don't get the result on Saturday, surely that is when, you know, serious questions start to be asked.
It's the stuff of nightmares, to be honest with you, isn't it? Partick Thistle, as I mentioned, seem to be utter rotten. From what I've seen, they don't seem to score many goals. Again, it sounds like I'm talking about Motherwell here, to be honest with you. But it's, as I say, it's a nightmare scenario in my opinion. No matter what happens on Tuesday, as you says, I think we have to win against Partick Thistle. But on both games, they really are too hard to call. It's one of the things where over the last couple of years, you'd be looking forward to both of them, looking for a win. I get in both of them. Even though our cup form over the last 6 years has been awful, you still go to Morton thinking, we'll get a wee result here, you know, maybe put up a couple of youngsters, whatever, as you says, but both of these games are going to be murder. Depending on the team on Tuesday, it will probably depend on the team on Saturday. Who we'll see, I don't know. Like Mitch says, I think we'll see McDonald on Tuesday. Wouldn't it surprise me again if we've seen him on Saturday, but it really is the stuff of nightmares. If worst comes to the worst and we lose, I'll be honest with you, I don't even care about the League Cup, to be fair. It'll be murder for Barraclough if we lose it. But if we lose that and win on Saturday, I'll be a bit happier than maybe I would have hoped it was the other way about, to be honest with you.
Well, it's been quite a negative podcast, I suppose, like, naturally, considering what's going on the park. Just to finish on a slightly more positive note, the podcast announced last week that we've paired up with Remember Well which is a football memories project that's designed to help people with dementia build up their confidence, improve their health and well-being, increase their social interaction, all using football reminiscence therapy. If any listeners want more details on that, the podcast, there's stuff on the podcast website at msc1886.com. Remember Well are on Twitter. It's at Remember Well, simple as that. But as part of the podcast kind of supporting the initiative, we've decided to have a weekly Remember Well question where we're asking for supporters' memories. First one's pretty straightforward. If you could revisit one moment in your time supporting Motherwell, what would it be? I'll get your answers, lads, in a slight moment, but I'll just have a wee look on the Twitter and see the kind of stuff that I think we can kind of guess. There'll be a few cliches. You know, Meg says, without doubt, the 1991 Cup final. The town was buzzing the week before and the week after. Who else have we got? We've got Bruce McDonald. Alan says that it's got to be the Pettigrew 3-2 Cup final. Cup game versus Celtic when we were two down. Bruce McDonald says that one ranks very highly with me also. George Farker, semi-final replay. Scott McIntyre, the celebrations at the end of the 91 semi-replay. Ian Brown, the day after the cup win in 91 with the bus going through the town. So lots of mentions for, I suppose, you could have guessed, the 91 Cup final and the semi-final beforehand. I think for me, I would still pick one from that cup run, but for me it would probably be the game earlier in the campaign against Falkirk at home in the February. I think we won 4-2, purely because it was my first ever game. I can't remember any of it. I was 5 years old, can't remember any of it. And I think it would be quite nice to go back and just, you know, see where it all started, see how the journey began to find myself now slating the manager on a podcast. So open to you guys. Buster, first and foremost, what would your answer be?
Well, like you said, you know, I knew there was going to be a lot of cup final things and all that. So I went for the day that the last day of the season, 2007-2008, we qualified for Europe. I think we finished third. It was the first time in like 14 years or something we'd finished in the European places, or we'd at least qualified for Europe. It was the season that Phil O'Donnell had died, obviously, at Christmas. And there was a feeling of achievement, basically, you know. We'd had such a tough season. And, you know, just to get to that point, to go through all the team had gone through and still continue the way they, you know, the way they finished, that was just one of my favourite moments. Being a Motherwell fan, to be honest with you.
Holmesy, what's your thoughts on it?
I was kind of avoiding this in a cliched cup final answers. And I was thinking about it just before the podcast when you mentioned it. And one of my favourite games that probably the whole 25 years I've supported Motherwell was one of the poorest seasons we had. But actually, December 2002, we beat Hearts 6-1 at Fir Park. We were 4-0 up at half time. And we just absolutely ran riot. I think we'd come off, I think we'd lost about the last six or seven games before that. We'd been on a shocking run, but everything just hit the clip that night. And that was one of my happiest memories, actually, of following Motherwell, that of just taking Hearts apart 6-1 that night. It was a great night.
Well, I should point out that on the Twitter, there are those that aren't, you know, subscribing to the cliches. Stuart Hardy says, the day I was mascot in 1989, Motherwell versus Clyde in the Scottish Cup, we won 7-0. Graham Kelly, Motherwell 5, Falkirk 3 in the mid-90s. I remember that one. That was quite a good game. Alistair Murray, the 12th goal of Motherwell v Hibs, the 6-each game. Mitch, what would yours be?
It falls on quite nicely from Buster, but I mean, moving up, not thinking about the sort of cliches and, you know, cup final, etc., I would probably actually turn and say Nancy. Just the overall trip was fantastic, you know, to play in Europe. And every man their dog was there as well, to be honest. You know, is what you're in Nancy and it was walking down Motherwell Main Street, you know. It was just everyone you know that you know that goes to Motherwell games was there. So the full overall, not so much the day, but maybe not so much the actual game, because it wasn't the most wonderful match. And the penalty save at the end was excellent from Smith. But probably just the actual overall experience is probably Nancy.
Well, I suppose that's a slightly brighter note than the rest of the podcast. So I think that about covers it for this week. Thanks as always to Buster and, of course, Mitch and Holmesy. Cheers, lads.
No problem.
Any time, mate.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. If you're making either or both of the Motherwell games in the coming week, hopefully there'll be a few more positives in show. We'll be back again next Monday as usual. Until then, cheers.
darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. You're